Hi there, little Orville Giddings Band, local action here on MSONewsports.com. I'm Rick Moore. This is North Shore Sports Night. Tim Kearns is here tonight. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. Bill Newell, of course, the voice of the North Shore. And this is our sports program that we've been putting on Monday nights for a long time now.
Yep.
Been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't have any great hair, but...
Really? Oh, man. Yeah, I told my wife today, I saw in the mirror, I said, hey, you know, I'm getting gray. I'm getting some gray. She looked at me and laughed. She said, you're getting gray? Hello. Okay, we got a big full lineup tonight. We got to get started here, Coach, in just a second. We're going to start with, it's going to be mostly football, but not all football tonight. We're going to start off with a Marblehead place kicker, Phelan Tinticane. We got to find out from what county he's from. He's an Irishman who is playing football for the Marblehead Magicians. I believe he's a senior. Kicked the winning field goal on Friday night. Against the Danvers Falcons with just under 4 minutes left to go in that ball game. We'll also talk with Ipswich football coach Kevin Fassett. They're going into the tournament. We're going to talk to Hamilton Wenham coach Jim Pugh. He won the South Division of the Cape Ann League. I forget which division that's called, but we'll talk with Coach. We're going to be covering that game on Saturday. We will talk with Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings, and Wakefield will be invading Marblehead on Friday night. Haven't talked with Coach Cummings in a while. Also check in with Manchester Essex coach Jeff Hutton. They'll be playing in the tournament. And we'll also call a couple of other guys. We're going to talk with David Curley, Rockport soccer coach. And he's got quite a record going on up there. I don't know if you've seen that, Tim. But we'll talk to Coach Curley about what's happening with Rockport boys soccer. And we'll also check in with Scott Cooper, who writes for the Daily Item and other sports entities on the North Shore. And we'll get his take on Marblehead and Swampscott Sports. So it's a full night. We're going to get started. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Marblehead's Phelan Tinticane here on MSO News Sports. So glad you're with us. Tell everybody about it. We'll be right back.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we're back on North Shore Sports Night, and Phelan Tinticane is our guest now, Marblehead place kickers. You're a senior at Marblehead High School, is that right, Phelan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, tell me, I think we turned the microphone off here. Let's turn this on again. Okay, so did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, you did, surprisingly enough, yes.
Okay, Coach was telling us that you're relatively new to American football. Tell me about how you got to it.
Well, I mean, it was really by coincidence that I ended up joining the football team because I played soccer for almost a decade. I played since I was like six.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard the team was looking for a kicker through one of my friends who played football. So one day, me and a couple guys just went out and we kicked a couple at the local field and went from there.
All right, so you've been with the team since you were a sophomore? Does that sound right?
No, I just joined this year.
You just joined this year. Okay. So tell me how you... Now, listen. I mean, if you've been... The conversion from soccer to football, American football, European football to American football. There we go. It's completely different sports, obviously. But how did you deal with the shape of the ball and stuff? How did you get into that? And how did you, learn about it and practice it?
Well, I mean, it was really a lot of... learning, because I took advantage of the internet and I watched a lot of YouTube, because there's all different kinds of things. Like, you got to learn where to plant your foot, where to strike the ball, and so. But I felt that I was really able to gain a lot of that good knowledge from YouTube. And then I also went to a kicking camp at UMass Lowell over the summer. So that both of those things really helped me out.
That's incredible. Well, tell me a little bit about the game on Friday night, because that was a massive defensive struggle, and then you go in with about 4 minutes left, and you're kicking into the scoreboard side of the end zone there. I think it was a 30-yarder, and tell me, set that up for me, Phelan, and tell me about what happened.
Well, it was really exciting. It was our close to dealing with all year, and Danvers had been playing quite well. And so what when Tyrese Hardy came away with that fumble, because previously we'd been stopped on fourth down, right close in, and they got the ball back, so that was a real momentum switch, and it really felt like the momentum was switching their way. But then we forced a fumble on like their second play, right back in there, and our linebacker Tyrese Hardy came running away with the ball in his hand, and our sideline went wild. And I realized that at that point, it was quite possible, because Danvers has very strong defense, that I was going to be needed to come on and kick. And so I actually had been practicing 30 yarders before the game, coincidentally. So.
And there it was. Well, how do you keep your head in the game? Because, you know, obviously in European football, you're on the field all the time. In American football, you're not needed that much after a touchdown, maybe, or a field goal attempt. So how do you keep your head in the game?
Well, I mean, it's really just about mental strength in the end, because what ends up being the problem for a lot of kickers is that they let the pressure get to them, or they can't focus or something like that. But you really gotta get involved on the sidelines. You gotta support your team. You gotta help the guys out when they need help with something, like, and you just gotta, I don't know, focus on the game and focus on your job and take that part seriously. But you can't take yourself too seriously, or then you'll over pressure yourself. So.
Phelan, was it in the back of your mind that Matt Dillon for Damas had kicked the winning field goal the previous week against Beverly, and he kicked his from 38, and if Danvers had the opportunity, and I believe they missed two field goals early in your game, but that he might have a chance at a third try?
So I was aware that he had kicked the winning field goal. I was aware that he was quite good, and it actually surprised me to see him miss both of those tries. But I don't know. I wasn't really thinking about if he was going to have the chance to tie it up. I was really just thinking about getting on there and doing my job and getting off the field. That's all.
That's really good to be able to to block out those kind of distractions. Certainly. What position did you play in soccer?
Soccer. Actually, I was a goaltender for most of my life. I was a goaltender, but then what happened was, when we transitioned from eighth grade to high school, there were like five goalies in my grade of like 12 players. So I realized that that wasn't going to fly. So I started playing forward, actually. And that went pretty well. But in the end, I just made the decision one day that I'd be happier playing football.
You know, in the early days, in the 1970s, a number of English kickers came over from Europe. John Smith to the Patriots, most notable around here, and all the English, they were all kickers, and there had all been previous soccer players. And just the swinging motion of the leg as a goalkeeper, you know, you kill the ball, you're sending it downfield. It's still planting the foot, getting underneath it to drive it up in the air, to drive it long as far as you can. So there are some basic similarities in the motion involved. It's just tweaking it, wasn't it?
Yeah. I already had a lot of the basics, because as a goalie I had to learn how to kick the ball far downfield and how to get good connection. It was really just about making that adjustment in the swing and making that adjustment in hitting the sweet spot of the ball.
All right, Phelan, what's up for your senior year now? What kind of classes you're taking?
I am taking two AP classes, one honors class, and a couple CP1 classes. One of my AP classes is AP Government, and so I would like to study political science in college, so that's probably my favorite class right about now.
Good for you. And what schools are you looking at?
What actually happened was I qualified from a scholarship based on, I think, my MCAT scores to a state school, and I believe I'm going to take advantage of that scholarship and go off to UMass Amherst.
All right, I will see you on Friday night. I'll be there covering the game again. You guys have a big one coming up, and thank you so much for talking with us, Phelan, and stay with it, and good luck to you and your teammates.
Of course. Nice talking to you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good luck.
That is Phelan Tinty Kane, who is a delightful senior at Marblehead High School, and he kicked the winning field goal on Friday night, much to the dismay of the Danvers Falcons fans, and a great game, just a great high school game. And I know that Coach Ryan Nolan Danvers was visibly upset after that game, but he held it together. It's his first season as head coach, and he held it together and had high praise for both his team and Marblehead, of course, and got to give Mr. Tinty Kane all the credit for putting that one through the uprights.
Yeah, certainly, and I was following it on the Twitter feeds, and I mean, it just read like a battle over the over the Twitter feeds.
Yeah, it was a tremendous game. Okay, we have to take a very quick bake. We'll bake some cookies.
Can't wait to see what comes out of the oven.
We'll bake some cookies and come back with Kevin Fassett, the Ipswich football coach.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we're back now with Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh. And coach, 35-7 over Linfield. How do you do?
We do well. it was a great night, for sure. There's no denying the kids came out as fired up as we've seen them. And were physical, and that's the thing I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, is that the thing that we knew we had players, and we've said that all along, that we got playmakers, Cam Peach, Jake Lenciani, Phil Durgan, Billy Whalen, now Ian Coffey. So we got kids that can make plays, but our offensive and defensive line, our linebackers, Phil Durgan and Sam Weber and Daniel Tobin, Michael Crowley. I mean, they really took it to Linfield. So it was an impressive win for us. And it was great on Friday night and Saturday. And, you know, now we're in the infamous words of one of the greatest coaches of all time, we're on to Cincinnati. So,
Was the game at Linfield?
Yes.
That's usually a really tough place to go in and walk out with a win. But you guys were decisive in this win.
The kids really did. It was an impressive showing by our kids. They really just everything about our game, special teams, the offense, defense, the blocking. The playmaking, Linfield is a great team, and they've been there and won it, you know, whatever it is, 4, 5, 6 years in a row. I think the last team to beat them from the, you know, the Cape Ann League small or the Baker Division has been Hamilton Wenham back when Trevor Lyon was playing, and in 2011 Hamilton you know, we went to a Super Bowl with behind Trevor and Coach Morenci, and 12. So in 2012. So it's been a long time, and this was great. It was great for the program, and but you know, as you know, now everyone's back on page one, and it's back to the playoffs, and one and done.
All right, so let's look at that, Coach. You got your defense is leading the way. Obviously, you've got complimentary football, and you mentioned the special teams, which is really cool because that's got to help with field position. How do you look at this Salem game?
It's going to be a tough one. I mean, you know, Coach Bouchard has got the playing. You know, I the game against Lynn English, I thought, you know, I mean, they should have won that game. Not, you know, there's one call at the end where they get called for a hold on a 2-point conversion. Otherwise, they win that game. But no, they you know, the Gaskins kids, the Espinal kids. I mean, they got athletes all over the field. So that we know, and it will be our offensive and defensive line and linebackers against theirs. They got playmakers. We have playmakers. So it should be a great, exciting game.
Looking forward to it, Coach. We're gonna broadcast that game, and if you get a chance, please send me along your revised offense and defense from the last time I was over there. If you get a chance, but should be a great game. I think the weather forecast looks good. And is it a 1 o'clock start at Hamilton Wenham?
No, I think it's 1:30.
1:30.
It's gonna be a 1:30 start, and yep, at our field. So that's a nice thing about winning on last Friday night. So, you know, we get home field advantage, which is always, you know, a great thing to have. So, yeah, we'll be excited. Hopefully the fans come out. Our fans came out Friday night. I was shocked at, you know, the number of students that came and supported us. But that's the type of school Hamilton Wenham is. You know, the kids, you know, a smaller school, they all support each other. I mean, our kids go to the volleyball games, the soccer games, the soccer kids and the volleyball kids, and, you know, and that's awesome.
I can see the smile on your face, Jim. Listen, we'll be there on Saturday, and congratulations. We will talk to you before the game.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks. Congratulations.
Okay, yep. Coach, good luck.
And what he's talking about with crowds, it was like Thanksgiving again in Marblehead on Friday night. It was amazing and tremendous turnout by Danvers, and everybody was ringing in, like, 3, 4, 5 deep all the way around the field.
Yeah, well, games that have high value, certainly, and Danvers isn't a far trek, though. You had to go around Salem to get there on time for the game, probably. But again, you want to support the team. You know, you want to show them that you can. You got their back, and it's great when you know the coaches have the time to look up and from the field and see the people in the stands.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and it was terrific. But how about Coach Pugh, though? I mean, good heavens! And I didn't, you know, we're kind of rushing things along tonight because of the number of guests that we have. But Tim, his defense, first of all, his offense is the second highest. The third highest offense in scoring on the whole North Shore.
I know.
And his defense
chintzy.
It's tremendous. So
yeah, in fact, while you were talking to me, I was actually looking at those numbers, and I was like, wow.
Only Marblehead and Danvers across the entire North Shore have better defensive scoring
records. Because of giving up points.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, that comes from the Belichickian school of defense.
Yeah.
It's points. It's points allowed. That's right. It. Okay, we need to take a break here, another quick break. We'll come back, and I'm not sure. We're going to try to get a hold of Ipswich coach Kevin Fassett again. If not, we'll see if we can hook up with Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings. It's been a while, so glad you're here with us tonight. Pass the word along. We'll be right back.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District, with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Okay, joining us now is Ipswich football coach Kevin Fassett. And coach, first of all, welcome back and congratulations on getting into this crazy tournament and on your win this past weekend.
Yes, thank you guys, and thank you guys for everything you do. It should be an exciting weekend for us.
Oh, it's been exciting. It's been a great season, and there've been some ups and downs for your team, Kevin. But right now, you're on the upside of the ups at 4-3. You've got a positive record, points for, points against. And what kind of a grade would you give yourself and your team at this point in the season? You know, prior to this to the tournament.
Well, I think last game we kind of finally put it all together, and we're probably playing our best football, which is exciting. We've been inconsistent, so I would say that grade would probably be closer to a C with those three losses. But, you know, I take that on as my fault, because it took us a little bit for the option to get moving forward and this offense to get going, coming from a spread transition. And that's my fault as a coach. And I think these guys worked hard. And you know, I think we're finally getting what we're supposed to be doing on both sides of the ball. And it should be exciting for us, hopefully, moving forward.
You know, you sound like a teacher. I always said that when kids succeeded, hey, it was all them. And when they didn't do well, I had to take the blame, and I totally get that. Kevin, I can't find those stats you sent along in email, but maybe you could tell me a little bit about this this big number of points that you got against Georgetown, 53-6 win.
Yeah, sure. It's part of the option. When it gets rolling, there's a lot of plays that can run off it, and it can be a little bit devastating. I've been on both sides of that. But once, you know, all those option pieces start working and the running backs and the quarterbacks making the right read, it opens up your pass game, and I think that's what really helped us out too, is our big plays got hit over the top with a few touchdown passes, which is, you know, rare for an option offense. And you can pile that with the way we were running the ball, we were able to score some points.
You know, coach, having the flexibility to throw off of the option has to give the defense some fits, as they have to sort of stay back on their heels a little bit. They can't commit to the run totally if they know you're going to flip it over their heads.
Yeah, sure, absolutely, and that's the game plan. I mean, it's not, I didn't invent it. Someone much smarter than me did. And basically, you know, your options got to start working, and then, you know, once they start to bite up to assist in that stopping of the run, you hit them over top. So, yeah, absolutely, and that starts with our offensive line up front. I thought the guys came off the ball hard and played physical, and, you know, the quarterback made the reads, and the running backs did their job too. So I think it was a full team effort.
Now, Georgetown has certainly had a very tough year this year, and you put 53 on their on their nose. But, you know, in talking to Paul Ingram, you can't tell the kids not to run hard, not to execute the play, not to score the touchdown, because to do otherwise, one, you're inviting injuries, but at the other time, you're insulting the opposing team more by trying to hold back than you are than by going forward.
Yeah, it is. That can be a little bit challenging, but you know, we had some young guys in there, and you know, a sophomore scored a touchdown. Some other young kids also punted, another sophomore punched it in. So it's tough to tell a kid not to score their first varsity touchdown. And you know, like I said, we've been on the other side of that too, mm-hmm. and it's part of the game. And you know, unfortunately, you don't want to hang any high points on anybody. But you know, we were trying to, you know, just execute basic offensive plays, and sometimes they work. And you know, sometimes when it rains, it pours. And you know, like I said, we've been on the other side of that on multiple occasions. And yeah, you know, hopefully, I'm sure they'll bounce back, and hopefully, we can continue to do some of the good things that got us to where we are.
Coach, you had you had a big first half, obviously. But there's just one play that jumps off the score sheet, and that had to be the nail in the coffin. Tell me about that interception return.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. There's pretty much no time left. I think that put us up 34 at that point. And Matt Ruco picking that off and taking that, you know, 100-plus yards, you know, with no time left was the nail in the coffin, like you said. And it was just a great play, and there's a couple good blocks on the way. But, you know, Matt's put a lot of great effort, you know, toward his season the last couple of years since, you know, I've been in the program 3 years now, and the kid's worked really hard, and it's kind of the fruits of his labor paid off. I mean, if you watch the run and how far he had to run to get to that destination point with him going left and right and whatnot, you know, it was pure effort, and it was great to see, and it couldn't have happened to a better kid. Great kid.
You know, for the program, scoring that many points going into playoff weekend, that has to infuse them with a whole higher elevated sense of confidence in themselves, that they can go out and not even look at the opponent, but knowing that if they execute, they can go out there and they can put points on the board and they can walk away with the W at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can be inferior in some aspects of your game and be a little bit slower, a little bit smaller. I mean, we put in this offense knowing who we were, and it's no disrespect to our athletic ability, but, you know, we're limited in some spots, you know. And, you know, teams that run the option, they call it the ultimate equalizer. So sometimes when it gets rolling, it's great, and, you know, other times it's also another way to protect your defense. So it kind of goes twofold, and obviously when the offense is putting points up, you force the other team to be one-dimensional, and those lopsided scores jump out on paper a little more. But it is a byproduct of that offensive line working hard. And then again, the defense did also get their stops and did a great job. I mean, we fumbled the ball in the first drive inside the 20, and we held them to no point. So, you know, the defense did a great job, and they really had to step up considering, you know, the previous week before, you know, obviously gave up over 50 points against Linfield, and some teams like that we struggle with. So that was great to see them working together as a unit, and the coach obviously did a great job with his game plan.
Okay, last thing for me. What do you know about Stoneham?
Oh, they're good. I mean, they play in, hands down, the hardest schedule that I've seen anyone in our division play, and they're physical, strong, and I know personally Coach Almeida. He's a great guy and, you know, great coach, and it's going to be a battle, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that Middlesex League is always tough. They're always beating on each other for the whole season, and then they get the opportunity to beat up somebody else in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it's not us. So.
Absolutely.
No, you know, again, they play so hard, and they're just a tough team and well respected, and we're hoping to put on, you know, a great game for the fans and everybody part.
Okay, that is let's see, a 6:30 game at Stoneham on Friday night. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It is.
All right. Well, I hope you have a good turnout, Kevin. I hope we talk about a win next Monday night.
Yes, I hope so. Thank you very much.
All right, Coach, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. Good luck.
Thanks, Coach. Best of luck.
That is
all right, thanks, guys.
Ipswich High School. That is Ipswich High School football coach Kevin Fassett. You can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. He looks like he's about 19 years old. I have no idea, but two young children and gaining a lot of experience very quickly. And I like the way he discussed his team, Tim, and he did it all season long. He talks about not so much limitations, but knowing who you are and what your strengths are and how you can succeed with what you have. And I think that's awesome.
Well, it's about maximizing your talent, you know, and what scheme is going to give us the best opportunity to be successful. You don't have anybody, a real strong quarterback with a real strong arm, and you don't have any real – you're looking to create a ground game, whether you're going to go wing T or you're going to go option or wishbone or whatever you're going to do. But you have to find another way to win ball games, and that's where the creativity of the coach comes in.
No, I'm not saying there's no talent there. What I'm saying is –
No. You know, he built the system. He looked at right. He looked at the talent
what
that he
have.
Did have,
yep.
And he said, okay, the talent that we have best suits – this particular offensive style.
Yeah, good luck to Ipswich. That's awesome. They've had a successful year up to this point, and a big test coming up on Friday night. Now, we should discuss here before we go to our next guest, and I have no idea. Oh, Coach Cummings will be next of Wakefield, I believe.
Yep.
I think. Is that right on the list there?
That's on the list.
No. We got to go to Scott Cooper at 7:30.
I didn't. So we got to go two jumps.
Well, that's why I have the times there, but that's okay. If they were out of order, so I just relax. I know your history,
you
not math.
Me, if you
I know.
Told me that at the beginning, when I'm looking,
at we've only been doing this for 11 years.
I've been looking this in chronological order in terms of the
yes,
people
I know.
On
I,
the list.
No, you're looking from top to bottom, and that's
well, that's
okay.
Never mind.
Okay, never mind. Wait for the train to go by. This is
I get the same thing at home when I have the back door open and I'm talking to somebody on the phone or I'm watching a television show, and at the most critical
gotta,
moment
yep,
in the show,
you
got to
pause. Yep.
Here comes the train.
Yeah, so you back it up. Well, I got the studio window open because Coach is so. Okay, so on Friday night, here's the deal. We're going to be broadcasting the Danvers at Lynn Classical game. Do I have that right? Let's make sure I have that right. Cause,
yes.
Danvers at Lynn Classical. It's a 7:30 game.
That's going to be a rematch to see.
That's the second game of the Manchester Essex at St. Mary. It's the second game of a doubleheader. Manchester Essex at St. Mary's, we'll talk to Coach Hutton in a little while, will be the first game at Manning Field at 5 o'clock. We're not going to broadcast that one, but we'll be there. And then we're broadcasting the Wakefield at Marblehead game. That will be, we're broadcasting Danvers at Lynn Classical. Danvers at Lynn Classical is our live radio game. We're also going to be doing live streaming video. I got to slow down here. And with Andrew Nicastro and Streamography covering that with our video. Now, you will be in
Wilmington,
and Gloucester is at Wilmington.
Yes, with you Coach Ingram.
You and Coach Ingram will be there covering that one, and phone-in reports to Bill, so that will be live on the radio. I will be at Marblehead, as we will be covering Wakefield at Marblehead. I'll be over there. That's on Friday. Then, on
Saturday, we'll be just listening.
From somewhere, yes.
Somewhere.
On Saturday, I will be over at Hamilton Wenham, and I don't know if you're going to be there or not. I hope you are, but... We will be broadcasting that game at 1:30 from Hamilton Wenham, as they will be playing against, we just said that, Salem. It should be a tremendous one, Salem at Hamilton Wenham.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Salem rebounds from last Friday night's game against Lynn Classical, where they were in it, and then Classical in the second half just went away from them, and with all the tools that they had.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we're back, and Scott Cooper is somewhere on the North Shore reporting on games and writing down all the notes. Scott, where are you?
I'm at my house now.
Okay.
I was just finished up a couple of stories on Swampscott girls soccer, Swampscott boys soccer, Swampscott field hockey. I did a couple of football things earlier today. So
all right,
I was just relaxing watching PTI and listening to your show.
Ah, isn't that nice? We've been, as you know, we've been discussing football, and I saw you over at the field the other night. But I would like, if you don't mind, maybe you could bring us up to date on what you've seen in Marblehead and Swampscott, other than football, or talk about football, if you will. But what catches your eye?
Talk about football. That's this past weekend. I had a triple header this weekend.
Okay,
Marblehead Danvers, which I thought was. For the first three quarters, it was a little, didn't have a hook. You like to get that hook early, a big play or something you can hang your hat on, but didn't have anything. But then the fourth quarter showed up, and it was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those Alcoa fantastic finishes. It was great. The last it was really exciting.
My God, that's pulling one out of the memory banks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, you at halftime, I was looking at the stats, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, nothing has happened.
But isn't that indicative of what you'd expect from two teams of that quality, that neither one was going to probably run away from the other, and they'd meet at the 50-yard line and just continue to slug it out until someone got a little tired?
Well, I don't think those two schools have played a bad game in, like, the last 4 or 5 years. They've always, you know, they've been great, great games between those two schools. So every time they've met in the playoffs, regular season's always been a good game between those two.
All right, so what else did you see over the weekend?
Well, I saw Swampscott. I mean, Chagas had just came in off a win, and they were, you know, they're kind of like Swampscott was the last couple of years when the Big Blue took their lumps because all their starters were sophomores and juniors. Now those kids are seniors, and Saugus is in the same position. They have a lot of young kids, and the Big Blue just came out and took the game to them. And they, you know, they've got a home playoff game this weekend with Watertown, so that's pretty exciting. I think it's the new field, the new setup. I don't know if you've been over to the new press box.
No, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't. Bill's seen it.
I know. Okay. Bill has. Okay.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. They've done a great job over there. And Saturday night, I was over Austin Prep 0-6, St. Mary's 6-0. So you kind of had a good idea what's going to happen. And St. Mary's really, they're a class football team. They have a lot of talent, a lot of talent on that team.
Hey, Scott, let me ask you, do they still serve hot dogs and cold drinks at halftime up in the press box in Swampscott?
Well, Roger Volk was away last weekend, but the last couple of times I've been up there, he's been there. He has taken care of everybody.
That's incredible.
So.
Yep.
That's why I love to go to the
best hot dogs on the North Shore. Absolutely. That's so cool when they do that. I love it. That's awesome.
Bobby Serino, the Big Blue coach, he had over 80 pounds of sausages and meatballs for his offensive line and his running backs. They fed him after the game, so they had a little get-together afterwards. So over 80 pounds of... his offensive line has been really, really done a great job giving Ferrier.
And some growing young men.
Find a people to throw to.
All right, so Scott, how about some other highlight of one or two other teams in Swampscott or Marblehead, either in any other sport that have caught your eye?
The Big Blue girls won today on soccer, so they qualified for the state tournament with a win today. The Big Blue boys beat Beverly 2-1 on a late goal by Dan Johnson, so they were already in the playoffs under the Sullivan rule. You know, they've only won four games, but they won three, so they qualified for the Sullivan rule last week. But they were very excited. I don't think they've had a win against Beverly in a long time. And the field hockey team also qualified for the state tournament.
Wow.
Over in Marblehead, the boys' soccer team needs to win two out of their final three games to qualify. The girls' soccer team's having a real tough time scoring goals, and the Marblehead field hockey team is definitely one of the best in the area. I believe they have one loss and two ties, or maybe two ties and one loss.
That's Coach Pugh's daughter, right?
Yes. Okay. No, that's the lacrosse team.
Oh, that's lacrosse. Okay, yeah, I get confused. All right.
The Collins has got the field hockey team.
Well, field hockey, lacrosse, and Marblehead, you know, they do nothing but win. Scott, where are you going to be this weekend?
Well, I'm going to be in Marblehead for the Marblehead-Wakefield game Friday night.
Okay.
I'll be in Swampscott at noon on Saturday, and I may be over at Manning for Lynn Classical Saturday night. There's a lot of games going on, so I know I'm going to be at least two, maybe three this weekend.
All right, and where do we read all your stuff?
At 2 o'clock, so I can't get to that one because I'll be at the Swampscott game.
Okay, and where are we going to read your stuff? You're in the item.
I was in the item all over today, and I'll be in the Marblehead Swampscott Reporter this Thursday, and a lot of the stuff is already posted online, so if you want to get a jump, just click on.
All right, I'll see you Friday night at Piper.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
See Scott.
You, Scott. Scott Cooper of the Daily Item and other newspapers as well. Okay, so we got a lot more interviews still to go, so we're going to have to move this sucker along. We're going to be talking with Steve Cummings, the Wakefield football coach, and Dave Curley, the Rockport soccer coach, and Jeff Hutton, the Manchester Essex football coach, if all goes well. So we'll take another short break, and we'll be right back. So stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night.
Morgan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we are back waiting for Coach Cummings to find a better location to talk to us from. And Coach Steve Cummings, the Wakefield High School coach, and I love their ballpark. You've been over there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love their field. I love the way it's seated in like a bowl setting with all the forest around it and stuff. That is so cool.
Yeah, but the sun's setting over the woods across the lake can be a real...
All right, well, let me turn the music off. Try it again. Trying to get a hold of Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings. We had him on the line, and then we just got disconnected, so we'll see if we can dial him up. Lots of other interviews to go tonight. Again, we'll talk Rockport soccer with voice coach
Steve
Curley.
Call has been forwarded to an automated voice.
Okay, well, maybe he'll call us back. So we'll give it a second here. Just let it cool off a little bit. And then we'll talk with who's left? Coach Hutton. Jeff Hutton, Manchester S6 football. So why don't you try it one more time, Tim, and then if that didn't work, we'll dial up our next interview.
Hello.
There you go.
439.
I'll give it another phone number. We're live radio here. Okay, looking out the studio window at all the orange lights out there.
Got a ringy dingy.
One ringy dingy. We'll try it again. The old Larry Glick show.
Hi, Coach. We're back.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Coach. All right, we're back live. Steve Cummings, the Wakefield football coach. I almost said hockey coach. I saw so many hockey coaches Friday night. Wakefield football is with us, and Coach, it has been too long. How are you doing?
It has been. I mean, I feel like last year we were buddies. We were hanging out. Now, I come on once a year. I'm a little...
No. Don't be upset. Don't be offended. It's a scheduling quirk with the schedule this year. It's crazy. Plus, with our, it's just nuts. But I'm so glad we caught up with you. I'm going to be over at Marblehead on Friday night to cover that game. We won't be broadcasting from there, but nevertheless, we're hoping to do a Thanksgiving Wakefield game. But tell us about how your season's gone to this point, Steve. Let us know how you're doing.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've made a lot of changes from last fall. We've implemented a whole new offense. We're pistol wing T now, so it's, you know, we're at the point now in the season where our guys are really wrapping their heads around the offense and the scheme and the things that we're doing. So we started a little slow, but you know, just like last year, where last year we started the year with Beverly and Marblehead. I've always just believed that when you play good competition, it makes you guys play better. So we started this year week one at Reading when Reading was full strength, and really hung with them for about a half, and then they really hit another gear. And I think our guys learned a lot from that one. And then we got in our league play, and I'll tell you, the Middlesex League this year is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Wilmington's got a new coach over there. He's doing a great job. They ended the regular season 6-1. We had Stoneham, Melrose. The league top to bottom is good, so we ended our regular season 3-4. We're kind of battling through some injuries, but we were midway through the year. But right now I kind of feel like we are at a point where we're playing our best football, and it could be coming at a better time.
So who's doing it for you, Coach, in terms of leadership? Guys that you expected to lead for you, and they have.
Well, I have a very big senior class this year, so I have 24 seniors on this team. We have four captains, Alex Jolly, Devin O'Brien, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Brendan Coughlin. And the four of them have done a great job just kind of bringing the energy every day to practice, doing the little things, making sure guys are, on time for stuff, and, all of our in-season lifts and all the stuff we did in the off-season. I have a really, really great group of seniors that we can rely on. So, I've got... I don't want to leave anybody out. I say I got 24 guys. I really have a lot of guys that kind of do a lot of things well.
Mm-hmm.
And then our quarterback, Mike Lucy, who last year as a sophomore kind of got thrown into the fire and did a great job for us. He's kind of taking the next step in his progression as a quarterback, where he's you know, doesn't need to be told as much anymore. He's more coming in with questions and coming up with his own ideas and things that he wants to be able to do. And, you know, he's a guy that's out to practice early every day working on his craft and doing things like that. So whenever you have a kid like that in your program, especially at the quarterback position, it's always a good thing.
Have you heard from any of your alumni from last year, Steve, or years past? Did you see anybody this summer, or have they come back yet? I know that Thanksgiving's the traditional time when they stop by, but maybe some of your kids who went on to school, whether they're playing football or not, can you mention anybody you might have made contact with?
Yeah, so I actually went out a couple weeks ago. I have a receiver of mine. Actually, his younger brother's on the team. His younger brother's Andrew Miller, but Mike Miller was our quarterback 4 years ago. He's a senior receiver at Tufts. So it was actually pretty cool. I got to go out to see their senior day, you know, watch him play. And the good thing was, you know, you'll watch some of those games and you kind of see all these different kids from around this area, whether it's kids that played in the NEC or the Middlesex League, and you know, just kind of watching them enjoy the game at the next level is very cool. But we know we have a lot of kids that come back. Last year's kids, Joe Marinaccio and PJ Iannuzzi, they're frequent visitors to our games on Friday nights. And the summer's always good because we usually get a lot of our guys that are playing college football. You know, they'll come and work out in our weight room here and talk to the guys and, you know, kind of give them an idea of what it's like at the next level. You know, whether you're playing, you know, we have a couple guys at D2 and some guys playing D3. So, you know, when they get to talk to the kids about the commitment level at the, you know, if this is something you really want to do, it's good to hear from those guys. But we have a pretty good relationship with our alumni. They come back a lot. They come to some games. I like to bring them down to the, you know, some practices, and they talk to the team. And it's, you know, I always tell them when they graduate, man, you might graduate from the high school, but you never graduate from the program. So those kids really, they take that to heart. They come back and they visit frequently. It's always fun.
Yeah, there's something about the pride of playing athletics and being on a varsity team. And, yeah, you always go back to that high school thing. And I got to tell you, I was just telling Tim, the setting over there in Wakefield, the football stadium, I think that's one of the most beautiful spots I've ever seen. It's unique the way that football, it's like a bowl. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, they must have been 5 years now where they switched over to turf. And, you know, we used to have the bleachers on both sides in the grass field, which I loved. You know, but I get it. You know, you get the new state-of-the-art type stuff. And, it's a nice walk up the hill. Our team really enjoys playing at home where we get to, you know, take the walk up there. And, the setup's fantastic. They did a great job setting it up, you know, with the, with the team rooms and the, you know, just the way the whole thing is set up. They did a really, I mean, when they showed us the blueprints when I first put it together, it was kind of like, we're going to have that here. but it was, they did a great job with it. And, we really enjoy playing home. Unfortunately, you know, with the way our schedule broke, we only got to play up there twice this year.
That's crazy.
So it is what it is. Next year we'll get a lot more. But, you know, it's definitely a great venue. It's a great atmosphere for our kids to play in, and we really enjoy having it.
Well, one of the things I've noticed in covering Wakefield basketball tournament games is the teams travel well. You have a tremendous turnout with your student body. I'm expecting that at Marblehead.
We will be out in full effect. They call themselves the Red Sea. And our kids in this building, they always do such a great job of supporting each other. My guys, they'll go to a girls' soccer game and just cheer the girls on. And, you know, whatever season you're in, our cross-country team is really good, so we get fans of that. Our kids really do a great job of showing up for each other and cheering. And, we're expecting to have a good crowd over there at Marblehead on Friday. And, hopefully they can give us a little extra boost.
All right, what's your scouting report on Marblehead?
Well, I mean, it's hard to watch without staring at the quarterback. You know, he's 6'8", or you know, whatever he is.
Yep.
But he's, you know, the thing that's amazing is, you know, you watch how nimble he is and how well he moves and, you know, how much he can plant and do in the open field, because you're really not expecting that from a kid that size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got an absolute cannon for an arm, but I'm very, in watching the film of him, the thing that I'm the most impressed with is his feet, you know, and how he's able to run through tackles. And, you know, he had like a 70-yard run against Gloucester, and it was, he broke two tackles and was absolutely gone. And you're not used to seeing that kind of top-end speed from a kid that size. So, that's kind of the first one. And, you know, they have some of the guys, we were, you know, able to play them last year, and yeah, I know they lost a lot of guys off that, but one of the kids that really stuck out to me was, I believe his last name is Marino, number 85, the receiver.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure he's only a sophomore. but he's just got an incredible football IQ on both sides of the ball. I mean, he just really gets spacing. He's able to get into, you know, their passing scheme where he's able to run the seam and break routes off, and you know, you can tell that he really gets it. And you know, they're just solid. I mean, you look at the numbers they put up defensively. I think they've only given up 41 points for the year, and you know, that's not by accident. You that's more than just having good players. I mean, they're very well coached. They got a great scheme. You watch them on film, and there never seems to be anybody who's out of place or doesn't know exactly what they're doing. They absolutely smother you. You know, when you try getting side to side, and they gang tackle. They do just about everything well. So, you know, the thing for us is, you know, we got to make sure that we execute. You know, I told our guys, this is not a football team that's going to beat themselves. So if we're going to go there and pull this game out Friday, we're going to have to go out there and outplay them, which is a tall task, but it's one that I think that my guys are willing to take on.
All right, Coach, I look forward to seeing you over there on Friday night. And, geez, thanks for talking with me after all this time. and best of luck, Steve. We'll see you Friday.
Thank you very much. Take it easy, guys.
Take care, Coach.
Good luck.
That is Steve Cummings, who is the Wakefield High School football coach, and we've been... we've been reticent in our duties and not contacting Wakefield, and that won't happen again. We got to stay with that. It's a great program over there. The kids are great, and we love doing those games.
You know, it's funny. And he reiterated the thought that Jim had about how the kids from one sport support kids from other sports. You know,
oh, yeah.
they go to each other's games. They
oh, Wakefield is intense with that.
And that means a whole lot. I love the fact that they have, you know, the following has a nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Red Sea. You know, it's like rolling in on
That's
it.
Pretty cool. All right, we got two more interviews to go. Stay with us. We're going to go a little long.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Okay, we're back live now talking with Rockport soccer coach, boys soccer coach Dave Curley. And Dave, you got to tell us about your team because you've got one weird statistic there in terms of wins, losses, and ties. So give me a little summary of your season.
Okay, well, you're right. The thing that makes this a unique year is we've played 17 games this season and we've tied 9 of them. We will be playing our 18th game tomorrow, and we're going to have tied at least half of the games that we've played in, and it's rather unique. We stand at 4-4-9. We need one more point to qualify for the tournament. It's been an interesting, it's been an interesting year. As you would expect, there have been a number of those ties that we walked off the field feeling like. We left a point on the field when, in fact, I would say those 9 ties, we felt that way at minimum 6, and probably 2 of them we felt like they should have been ties, and one of them we felt like we stole a point. So, I could come up with 6 games that we tied that I really felt like we deserved to win.
Steve, how do you assess that, though, at this point in the season? Because, like I said, you need one point to qualify for the tournament, and it's not like it's a failure. I'm sure it's a little bit of a disappointment here and there, as you mentioned. But how do you coach that up now at this point?
I'm sorry. How do I assess that?
Yeah, how do you assess the ties and weave it into what's left? Because that stuff is in the past. You got a pretty decent record. You got a chance to make the tournament. Only 4 wins, but only 4 losses, and so. You know, in terms of success, I would think the kids have got to feel pretty good about the team.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that you can never, ever get hung up on and the thing to remember is this is high school sports. And as you and Tim know, both being involved in it for many years, high school sports are an extension of the classroom. And it's all about life lessons that one, you know, can be taught in an environment that's not in the classroom, and some kids that may struggle in specific areas in school, they have an opportunity to excel and learn some life lessons on the field. Now, we're a team that's comprised of Believe it or not, I just left practice, and we practiced with 28 kids tonight, and we were missing one. We generally have 29 kids on our varsity roster, and of those 29, six or seven will go down to the junior varsity game and participate in the JV game. But we presently have three freshmen and seven sophomores that play big minutes for us. And in assessing our season, these kids have grown immensely and matured immensely during the course of the year. Obviously not as physically mature as we would like them to be, but certainly emotionally and soccer-wise, soccer knowledge-wise, they've grown a great deal and matured a great deal. I think looking back on the season, we know and they know, they all know that there were games in the first four. I think it wasn't until game number seven. I think we were 2-0-5 through our first seven games, and I think if we played those games again, those five ties, we probably win three or four of them mm-hmm. because the kids are a little more mature and they know that. And so we're, you know, I wouldn't say that we're happy with where we are, but we're not unhappy with where we are. The journey here has been pretty exciting. We've been in, with the exception of the Masco game and the Manchester Essex game, we were beaten 3-0 by them, but the score wasn't as indicative. I thought it was, you know, they were better that night, but not three goals better. Masco just wiped us out. But every other game has been, you know, 2-1, 1-0, or 2-2, 1-1, 0-0. They've all been, you know, we're exciting games and a lot of fun to be a part of.
Coach, in your past experience, what's been the average number of ties you've had during a season?
I would say I would say probably three.
Wow.
With that in mind, would you favor the implementation of a shot overtime?
Tough question. Is this Tim?
Yeah,
that's a tough question, Tim. I wouldn't be opposed to overtime. I would prefer, for example, at the state tournament, that we never come to a shootout, that we eventually, you know, maybe eliminate players, go from, as they do in ice hockey, where they went from 4-on-4 to 3-on-3. I think, you know, a tie is a tie, and sometimes, as I said, both teams walk off the field very happy. Sometimes one team is excited that they got a tie, and the other team is disappointed that they didn't. Mm-hmm. I think I would leave it as it is if I had to, you know. Maybe you go 3 points for a win and 1 point for a tie.
Dave, final question for me. You always hear from coaches that, you know, improvement is the key. Improvement is the key. It sounds like you've had it this year. Kids are continuing to improve.
Yeah, definitely. And as you would hope, we're a team. It's interesting. We have seven seniors, six of which have been a part of our program since they were freshmen and sophomores. So they're veterans, and then the rest of the team is really, really young. With all respect to our junior class, and our best player is on our team is unquestionably Nolan Collins, who is a junior. Our junior class isn't quite as strong as I would say our sophomore class, and these seniors have been really, really good with the younger kids, mentoring them and helping them develop. Our three captains, Richie Powers and Nolan Collins, who's a junior, and Jason Kluge, who's in his second year as captain, have been great role models for these guys. And I know it'll carry on next year. And because of that relationship that the older kids have had with the younger ones.
Excellent. That's super. Hey, Dave, we'll talk during the tournament, because what do you got left now?
We have Manchester tomorrow night, and a point gets us in. 2 points is even better, but we'll be happy walking off the field tomorrow night. This will be a tie that we would be, the kids would be jumping up and down if we get a tie tomorrow night, because
All right.
We will be qualifying.
Oh, that's great. Good luck, Dave. Thanks for talking with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Nice talking with you, Rick. You as well, Tim. Take care.
Thanks, Coach.
Good luck tonight, tomorrow night.
That is Coach Dave Curley, Rockport High School soccer. And
nine just ties.
Yeah, it's amazing, yep.
But, and, you know, the part of the thing is you tell the kids, hey, you didn't lose, especially in games where you've come back and scored the tying goal.
And let's remember Rockport's position in that Cape Ann League. I mean, that is a tough, tough league. Same thing for Manchester Essex.
Yeah, because a lot of those communities, soccer is one of the more primary sports.
Mm-hmm. You know? Okay, one more break. Let's see how it goes. We've got, still got to get a hold of Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Foster's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Okay, we're back now. Our final segment, going a little overtime here. We want to welcome in Manchester Essex High School football coach Jeff Hutton. And coach, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
The same, man. It's a great time of year. And let's talk the good stuff. Big win over Amesbury this weekend. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, it was been the last 3 years. They've kind of been our Achilles heel. As you know, the last two seasons we've needed to win that game to make the playoffs, and we found a way to not get the job done. So it was the same situation this year where we needed it to have a chance to get in, and the kids responded really well this year, and then they got the job done.
Jeff, knowing that you're playing St. Mary's, are you doing a nightly novena?
Jeez.
Say it again?
Knowing you have to play St. Mary's next Friday night, are you doing nightly novenas?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, man. They're a big, fast, athletic, and they're as good as advertised.
Yeah, and they've been that way for the last bunch of years since Matt Durgan arrived. They have just risen up and stayed at that level, and he just doesn't seem to run out of skilled position players.
No, I'm hoping they run out of them sometime this week. Thursday would be great, right?
But Jeff, how have you done it? How have you done it with the kids, and how have they done it? Because up to this point, you know, you've run into some bigger, tougher teams, obviously, with more numbers and so on. But, geez, you got a good record. You got a good points for, good points against, and up to this point, a pretty successful season.
Yeah, you do what you got with what you got. And, you know, all we ask the kids to do is compete every week, and we think we do that as best we can for as long as we can, you know. And, I mean, you know, so we were in, you know, two of our losses to Hamilton won, and we were winning that game going into the fourth quarter. Same thing with Ipswich. You know, we gave Linfield a good half. And, you know, Nantucket was just Nantucket. So we felt like we were in a lot of those ball games. And, you know, we're a little battle test, and we play in a bigger league, so I think that helps a little bit in preparation. But, I mean, you know, we can't really simulate what St.
Right.
Mary's does in practice.
Right.
I mean, we only have 26, 27 guys healthy, so we'll just try to do the best we can.
Coach, your stars, your leaders have done it all year long. Is there somebody or a kid or two who you know, a younger kid maybe, or a senior who weren't expecting big things, but is there someone that you can point out and say, okay, he's done what we've asked him to do, and maybe a little bit more, he gets it?
Oh, yeah, we got actually two young guys. They're both juniors. One is a guy named Noah Rawson. He's actually, it's funny that you say, like, he's been a starter, a two-way starter for 3 years, but I think I'm sure he would be the first to tell you that he didn't have the season that he wanted to have last season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been an animal for us as an offensive tackle and a defensive tackle. He's one of our best defensive players. And then we have another guy who we moved from guard to center this year. His name is Ryan O'Connell. And, you know, he's a guy that coming into the season before we had some injuries and other kids that aren't with the program anymore, he was going to be like our third guy in on defense. And he came in and took the starting job. And he's been like our little spark plug the whole season. He's been playing great defense.
Excellent. What do you do for practice this week, Coach? Today's Monday, and you know you got a few days before the game. And as you said, you can't really simulate what St. Mary's does. You just don't have the number of players. So, what's the game plan for this week for you guys?
Well, we're gonna make them lift as many weights and eat as much food to get as big as they can. And I'm gonna put like some fireworks in their shoes so they can make them faster.
There you go.
But. You know, we'll do like some half line stuff to get some of our best on best. So at least we're getting, you know, as close to the look as we can get. And, you know, we watch as much film as we can. And we just go about the regular week, you know. And I know we're all excited about the playoffs. But, you know, we've still got to handle it as business as usual, you know. And I think if we bring too much attention, I mean, it's nice that we're in, but I also feel that we're also not quite there mm-hmm. mentally yet, you know? Like, if we made a super huge big deal of it, I think we need to kind of, like, approach it like a regular week and keep it as normal as we can so we can keep our routine.
Well, Jeff, I think it's important to note, too, that this isn't a win or you're out thing. I mean, you still have almost half a season still to go.
Oh, I know, which is, it's kind of, you know, I guess it's a good and a bad with this whole system. You know, you still have at least two games, and then you have Thanksgiving. So, hey, whatever happens this week, you know, we still got two more, and we have goals every year, and one of our goals is to make the playoffs and to check that box, you mm-hmm. know. Next goal is a winning record. You know, we can still do that, and then the third one is win Thanksgiving. So we still have
yep.
two more goals that we want. You know, and obviously a state championship is the other one, but, you know, at least they're all still right there in front of us, so which is a good thing.
Yep. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. I wish you all the best on Friday night. I know it's a big task against St. Mary's, but, you know, good luck to you and the boys.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks, Coach.
It.
Talk to you later.
Best of luck, Coach.
Yep. That is Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. And, again, just nothing but energy and enthusiasm. It's awesome. And another great teacher.
Yeah, and he's so right about the point of, yeah, it's a playoff game, but you have to treat it just as it's another game in the schedule. You can't look at you're playing the number one seed. You're playing St. Mary's. You know, this of late perennial powerhouse that racks up points. That's a multi-headed dragon that can come at you in so many different ways with the running backs, receivers, quarterback. You know, they're big, they're fast, they're strong. You know, it's kind of like describing Marblehead in the Catholic school. And they've consistently been there. You just have to go, okay, we have a game Friday night, and here's our game plan.
Well, it just,
and let's go out and execute the game plan.
It seems a little weird to me that St. Mary's is Division 7, and Manchester Essex is Division 7. That somehow just doesn't compute.
Well, Gloucester's Division 4.
Right, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, St. Mary's, hello, at least Division 4,
I
would think.
I know, but it's all based on numbers.
I know.
It's all based on numbers. You know, I mean,
Gloucester's, and it's a Catholic
played,
school, so it's an all-star
Gloucester's
team.
Gloucester's played, in the time that I was there, 1A,
mm-hmm.
2,
mm-hmm.
2A, 3A.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're in 4.
Yep. But their numbers have gone down. I mean, they got 30 kids on the team now. And at one time, you know, there were 1,000 kids in the school. They're fewer than 800 now.
2010, Paul took about 30 kids and went undefeated.
Yeah. Okay. That's going to do it. So you will be Gloucester at Wilmington Friday night.
Wilmington.
I will be Danvers at, no, excuse me, geez, I just did it, Wakefield at Marblehead. And our broadcast game, both video and audio, live streaming video, is Danvers at Lynn Classical, and we'll be reporting to Bill Newell on the air with our game reports.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be a rather busy night.
It's been fun. All right. Thanks, Coach.
7 phone calls. That had to be a record.
Whew, I know. That's Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.